Hello, and thank you for listening to this week's podcast from our gathered services at Cross Point Church, South Orlando. We pray that God uses today's message to help fix your eyes and hearts on Christ. If you have any questions about what it means to follow Jesus, or you want to learn more about Cross Point Church, please visit us at xpoint.com. That's xpoint.com. And we pray that you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, Cross Point. Hope you guys are doing well. If you will, go ahead and turn with me to Psalm 128. We're going to be continuing looking at these kind of songs on the path to renewal. These songs on an album of 15 songs that God gave to the nation of Israel to be sung as they journey to meet with God. And my prayer is that these would be the songs that we are singing as well, to sing as well. And in many ways, what we looked at last week in Psalm 127, today in 128, it's kind of picking up the other side of it. So last week, it was very much like those who, if the Lord doesn't build the house, then you're building it in vain. You're working in vain. Today, it's looking at the positive side of that, and it's saying, blessed is the person who fears God and walks in His way. It's a song of blessing. It's a song of positivity, specifically in regards to work and family. But what can happen sometimes is when we hear these positive songs, we're like, yeah, but you don't know my family. You don't know my kids, my spouse, my situation, what's happening at my work. You wouldn't be singing a song of blessing if you knew my story. And the reality is, we can think that some songs, if you will, can be weightless words to a heavy heart. And for me, like part of the feeling is that blessing, but what about my pain, my hurt? I love that the background to songs, about where they come from. Because like one song that I love is "Oh How He Loves Us." This is one that I think like modernly, like we can say, "Oh, that's kind of a pithy song." Like "He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions that are eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful You are, and how great Your affections are for me. Oh, how He loves." See, the reality is that this song was written by a man named John Mark McMillan on the front porch of his best friend the day after he passed away in a car accident. See, John's best friend, his name was Stephen, and he was a youth leader at the church, and God was using him to draw youth to Himself. And he had even prayed that night and said, "Lord, like bring this generation to You, even if it means my death." And that night, he died in a car accident. And John was in grief, in pain, like how could God take this person that He was using to draw young people to Himself and then gone? And he's sitting there in grief with friends and family pondering this question and then trying to think through what was it like that moment when his friend breathed his last breath here on earth and then stood in the presence of God. And he wasn't trying to write a worship song. It was never intended to be that. It was him processing his grief and looking to Christ. And then you hear the words, "When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions that are eclipsed by glory, and I realize and I see the beauty of Christ in the midst of my grief and despair." All of a sudden, those words take on a weight and a meaning. That blessing does not mean the absence of pain, but they are songs that we sing in spite of them. This month of November, it marks the 147th anniversary of another song that's well known, that was written by Horatio Spafford. He was a lawyer and businessman in Chicago. God had blessed him with a wife with five kids, but just 2 years prior, the youngest son had died of pneumonia. A few months later, the Great Chicago Fire wiped out his businesses. His wife, Anna, along with their four kids, got on a French boat headed to Europe when in the Atlantic it struck and collided with a Scottish iron-hulled vessel. And in the wreckage, the ship went down and all four children were lost to sea. The wife was found later by a small boat clinging to a piece of the wreckage. When they brought her to land to Wales, she sent a telegraph to her husband that said, "Saved alone. What should I do?" The husband jumped on the first ship that he could to get to his wife who was grieving. And as he was crossing the ocean, the captain called him to his cabin. When they reached the spot where the vessel had gone down and his children died, it was here, in this moment, 147 years ago, that he wrote the words, "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." It is a song of hope, a song of the presence of God, but it was sung in the midst of despair. And so I say that because as we look at this song that is of blessing as we walk with God, you may be saying, "But I'm not experiencing all of this." Is it true? And it's meant to be sung for those who are hurting, meant for those who may be doubting, meant for those who feel the weight and brokenness, be it at work, at home, or anywhere else. It is a song of blessing. So let's look at it together, beginning in verse 1 of Psalm 128. "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." See, the psalm begins here in verse 1 with blessed. This is the same thing as that joy that was talked about earlier in Psalm 126, that we have this song of joy that's like an anchor in our souls. And there's kind of two aspects to this. One is that it's a declaration, and second, that it's an experience. See, it's a declaration saying that it is blessed to walk in the fear of God. You are blessed to walk in His ways, that there is happiness and joy as we walk with God. It is a life to which many aspire, but many want to seek after in their own way. But this is saying that the blessed life comes from those who surrender to the Lord, who walk in the fear of Him. It is also declared to be not just a declaration, but the experience. And it's saying, look, you will be blessed specifically in your work and in family as you walk in the fear of God. But what does that mean? Like, what does it mean to fear God? I think part of that is in our thinking as we even think about who God is. Like, there should be a part of us that this morning we're asking ourselves, like, do you have an awe and respect for who God is? Like, if we say that God created everything and we realize that the world we live in, our very breath, is because He is the author of our life, that we are the clay and He is the potter, we surrender to His hands. We don't just say, "Hey, I want to do this," and assume blessing from God. We live in surrender to Him. Part of what it means to fear God is this acknowledgement that He is Creator, He is God, He has authority. But we also acknowledge that His intentions are good. Right? Like He wants what's best for us. He wants what will bring about your flourishing, your joy. That's what He wants. His ways are not a killjoy. It's not meant to limit you or hinder you. It's meant to lead you into the fullness of all He has for you. But like when I was growing up, so often I saw like, well, I can't do what I want to do, and what I want to do sounds fun, so God doesn't like fun. Right? And we can begin to think that way. But in reality, what we know to be true is that true happiness, true meaning, true purpose, true fulfillment comes as we walk in surrender and obedience to His way. And that the fear of the Lord is not just this acknowledgement of what we say is true, but it's actually saying, if you look at the end of verse 1, to walk in His way. See, it's not enough for you to sit here and just say, yes, I believe God is good. Yes, I believe His ways. But as you leave here, say, well, I'm going to live however I want because that makes me happy. That's not what it's talking about. It's not just saying, hey, choose whatever way you want, whatever makes you happy, go for it. It's saying, no, we are created. God is God. And if we fear Him, if we acknowledge His authority, then we walk in humility before Him. We walk in surrender. We walk in obedience. But as a culture, we live in a culture where walking in your own path, even this week I saw videos of someone who acknowledged a path that they were taking that was contrary to what God would say. And people stood and applauded. Good for you. We applaud independence. We applaud marching to the beat of your own drummer. We say, isn't that good? Find your own path. Find your own joy. Walk in it. Be satisfied. That is contrary completely to what this passage is saying when it says the blessed life comes from him who surrenders to God and walks in His way. That is what leads us to joy. And so how then, what does that mean to walk with God? That it's not just a general statement, but it's giving two specific examples for how we walk with God. And I think if we were to correlate walking with God as what we say at the end of the service, go and be the church, and say, well, what does that mean, go and be the church? Because so often we can think of these big lofty things like go lead somebody to Jesus, go share your faith, go do these things. But what this is going to tell us is when we say go and be the church, that call to walk in His ways are specifically applied to work and family. When your alarm goes off tomorrow morning and you have dinner with your family in the evening, it's saying, yes, walk in His ways. That's how this is going to be lived out. And I love this because for me and what this passage has done in my own heart this week is what I pray for us this morning. See, in my own heart, this passage has brought about kind of a sense of clarity, if you will. Just life is simple. Like what we're called to is really quite simple. I make it more complicated. I think we can make it more complicated. We put all these other things in it and it's like God's like, hey, like be blessed. Work hard, love your family, walk with me in both of them. Done. There's a bit of it that's what I'm seeing here. There's a clarity and a simplicity that this song brings. There's also this sense of just gratitude, of the blessings that God has already given, that just has just led to this joy and gratitude in my own heart. And my prayer is that through the message, as we kind of continue walking through this, that God would plant a seed in your heart this morning, that we're not going to like solve everything or be it clear. I really think it's going to take time for you to sit in this throughout the week, and that the message and the truths that you continue to meditate on this week would continue to bring about a sense of clarity in your own heart and mind and a sense of joy and gratitude towards God in His provision as you walk with Him. That's my prayer in what would be produced out of this morning. Because what we see here in verse 2 is it says, you shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed and it shall be well with you. That The reality is, if you take Monday through Saturday, you're going to have 144 hours in the week, right? You're going to work 40 plus of those hours. You're going to sleep, if you get 8 hours of sleep, 48 hours. That leaves you 56 hours left for eating, travel, hobbies, whatever it is. The majority of your life coming up this week is going to be spent at work or with others. That's kind of the reality. And so the question is, how do you walk with God in that? Now, what does it mean to walk in the fear of the Lord, to walk in His ways when it comes to work, when it comes to the alarm goes off tomorrow morning? And you begin the process of whatever that is. If you're a student, if you're a teacher, wherever you work, whatever God has led you to do in your life, what does it mean to walk with God in that for His glory? There's five things that kind of come to mind. And the first, and some of these I talked about last week, and so I'm going to go over them kind of quickly. For those, you can go back if you didn't hear last week's message. But the first is that work is a gift from God. It's not a curse. Like in Genesis 1 and 2, we see that God created us for work. Like that's His gift to us. That you get to get up and go to work is a good thing. That shouldn't be something that is just viewed as, man, this is terrible, I got to do it. Like this is part of God's gift to you. And that if you are able to work, you should be grateful that you are physically able to work. And that then the scripture says, work. Like 2 Thessalonians, if anyone's not willing to work, let him not eat. Like I read this last week, there's a sense of when it says, if you can work, work. But also we realize that we're not working for man. It doesn't matter what your job is, what you do. The scripture is clear when it says in Colossians 3, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. See, it's not to say that, hey, you're only serving God if you serve in ministry. Sometimes we draw this false parallel. Whatever it is that you do, when you enter that, you are doing that to the Lord, not to man. And that this should shape then your thinking in how you serve. But, and we also realize because of that, we take time to rest. Exodus 20 says that, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day, on the Sabbath, that belongs to God. On it you shall not do work. That there's a sense that our identity isn't wrapped up in work. We can rest in Him because of it. Billy Graham at one point said, because in the fifth point is this, put God first in your old age. Like there's those, I think most of those who are retired come to First Service. So there's a few here or maybe online. That someone had once said to Billy Graham that their goal in life was to retire when they hit 50. Like just to be done, not have to work anymore. And Billy Graham said to him, he's like, your goal suggests that you may only be concerned about yourself. What will you do with the remaining years of your life once you retire? Will you pursue life of a self-centered indulgence, living only for yourself? And if so, you will end up restless, bored, and empty. Instead, I urge you to put your life into God's hands by committing your life to Jesus Christ. Put Him at the center, for only then will you find lasting joy and peace and satisfaction. Amen. Like, there's a reality here, right? Like, we can think, oh, I'm just going to retire and enjoy these final years. But in all of life, we surrender that to God. But so often, in the song that we hear in our culture is going to say, hey, work hard, do your job, get your identity. And God's like, no, rest in Him. There is a fruit in our labor that is to the glory of God. That is the positive side of what we learned last week. You shall eat the fruit of your labor. There's a joy in that. Right? Even if you may not enjoy the work, for some, there can still be a joy in it. For case in point, my daughter and I, we've started to do this square foot garden on the side of our house. And just this week, we pulled out this purple carrot. Now, I didn't even know there was such a thing. There is. It was beautiful. We pulled it out. The problem is I don't really like fruits and vegetables. So we've helped grow it. She cleaned it. And she was like, here, Dad, try it. Now, my wife, who's sitting next to me, is like, you're not going to eat that, are you? You hate carrots, which I do. But I grew it. Like, we helped grow. I mean, I didn't grow it. I put a seed in the plant, like in the ground, and watered it and watched it grow. Right? But there was a joy in growing it, so I had to eat it. I didn't like it because I don't like carrots, especially raw carrots. But there was still a sweetness to it, knowing that we had pulled it from the ground, knowing that we had grown it. I love having the garden, even if I don't necessarily like a lot of the things we grow out of it. And I think the same thing can be true of work. There's a sense, like when your family's around the table and it's like, the work of my hands, God allowed to provide for what we're eating. There's a joy in that. There's a blessing that comes from just the simplicity of serving God as we work. And that's part of what it means to walk in his ways when we wake up tomorrow morning and we faithfully serve in whatever responsibility God leads us to. In verse 3, it continues when it's talking about family, when it says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. And so there's like this initial thought of when I'm like, okay, your wife will be like a fruitful vine. So is this, it is talking that children are a blessing. They're a gift that they are provided by God. I don't think it's only talking about like you're only blessed if you have children. There's a sense of what this is talking about in both with the wife and with the child, a sense of flourishing within the house, a sense of growing. Like even that olive shoots around the table is in some ways the same phrase we would have when we say like children are growing like weeds, like how quickly that they're growing, seeing them mature as they're growing up around us and seeing that development, that there's this desire for the flourishing of those in our home, to see the flourishing of spouse, to see the flourishing of children. And if you're not married, and it's still the flourishing of others that you are doing life with, together with others. The work is talking about our response personally to fearing God and walking in his ways. And then this is talking about together with others, living our lives for the good of others. That there are ways specifically when it comes to children, when it comes to marriage, that God commands. That he says these are his ways, that we are to walk in them. Genesis in Ephesians makes it clear that marriage is to be between a man and a woman. It is designed by God. It is good. It mysteriously displays his love for his people, the church. This is what the covenant of marriage is meant to display. This is what it means to fear God and walk in his ways and to be blessed. And instructions are given for how we do that. When it comes down toward, for husbands, when it says toward your wife, love your wife, sacrifice yourself for her, serve her, present her as perfect to others. Like, this is what the husband is called to. We live sacrificially, lovingly, to see the flourishing of our homes, to see the flourishing of our spouse, to see the flourishing of our children. And to children, the father's heart toward child, it says, do not exasperate or provoke your kids, coming down on them hard. This is my absolute favorite text to misquote in my house. Like Annalise was in here earlier and she started cracking up because as soon as I read it, the way I normally quote this is, children, don't provoke your father, right? It's a house full of teenagers and they know what it really says and they're like, Dad, stop provoking me. Stop pushing the buttons because it's one of the joys I have at home. So it's like, it's this reality. Okay, don't provoke. I can do it in jest, but there's other times I have done it in sin as well. That it says, don't provoke them. Don't be heavy-handed with your children, fathers. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of Jesus. That when you do this, you are walking with Jesus. When we say, go and be the church, you taking the time to listen to your child, to kneel down and look at them in the eye, to play Legos with them, to talk or to play with your niece or nephew, or one of the children in the community group, to engage them. This is what it means to fear God and walk in His ways. This is one of the most practical, realistic ways of what it means to just be the church, to go and to live that out. How do you respond when the alarm goes off? How are you interacting around the dinner table? Wives, toward your husband, the scripture commands us to walk in His ways, calls you to understand and support your husband. Lean in to His leadership and not away from. Lean into His care to support Him, honor Him, respect Him, submit to Him, to walk with Christ within the marriage covenant. And I think the same thing that's said to fathers regarding children is also true for moms. Like, don't provoke. It can be hard when they're young. But there's an opportunity as you walk with Jesus to depend upon Him for His strength. For the patience, that's not going to come from yourself. But there's a way of just saying, Lord, help me walk with You in this. Be honored in these conversations to children. There are commands given as well. It's not just to the mom and dad, but also to the child, because it says, obey your parents. Listen to them. Right? That there's a sense of honoring your parents. That it comes a point like where sometimes children begin to think like, oh, you're old, you don't know anything. Right? No, it's because they're old that they know something. Because they have been through it. They do know the feelings. Like, lean in. And this is where we see within the family a blessing that comes as one another flourishes. Like, for me, Thursday nights are our family night. So that's a night I don't plan anything. The kids can't plan anything. Life can be crazy throughout the week. Something's happening, it feels, every night. Thursday night is the night nothing's allowed to happen. Except for we get together, we have dinner together, and we'll just talk or play games or do something together as a family. And so it was Thursday that I think Eleanor had just come over. I was sitting outside. It was cooler, so I actually built my first fire of the season out in the fire pit. Was sitting out there reading this passage and just in awe at really, to be honest, the simplicity of it. Like, there's a lot that's been going on this week, right? Like, there's a lot that can captivate our hearts and emotions. And in the end, I'm sitting here and I'm like, it's saying, fear God. Do your job with joy in His strength and love your family. I'm like, yeah, that's good. Everything else just kind of fades away, doesn't it? Like, if I told you that you're going to meet Jesus by Saturday evening, you won't be here next Sunday. How would you live this week? What's important? Who are you going to hug, to call? What are you going to do? Right? Like, all of a sudden, everything becomes clear, doesn't it? What matters? There's certain people that you're just going to want to spend time with. There's a simplicity to life that we make more complicated. But if you think about what you've given your life to in this past week, is it those things? Is it those things you truly value? What is of greatest value, and what does it mean to fear God and walk in His ways toward those things? The passage kind of repeats this phrase, behold, thus shall a man be blessed who fears the Lord. See, we have these bookends of blessing comes to those who fear God and walk in His ways. It is a declaration and it is an experience, specifically as it relates to work and family. But then it also continues when it says, "The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." Many people see that this overall song of blessing as one that was kind of sung out over people, maybe like after they were married, it's this song of blessing. But here, and I think one of the ways that we apply verses 5 and 6 is praying for our nation. There is a sense of when it says, "Bless you from Zion, may the prosperity of Jerusalem, may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life." It is this context in which the family lives. And I think what happens here is the blessing is focused on surrendering to God in what I have responsibility for. That's my heart before God, and that's those whom God has called me to lead and shepherd, namely in the family. And then that's the blessing. And then there's a statement, "Lord, would you also bring about blessing broadly within the nation?" I think for many, as we think about even the announcement of President-elect Biden and what the future holds for many, and what I feel is, because I have social media, so I've seen posts, like there are people within the church who probably voted across the spectrum. Republican, Democrat, third party, doesn't matter. There's a sense of, that's it. And we can get overwhelmed. Some have been overwhelmed this week with feelings concerning the election. And I have this sense that we, as a nation, as a people, do not fear God, and we do not walk in his ways. And here's what I mean by that. If Jesus himself was president and sat in the White House, do we as a people fear God and walk in his ways? I think as a culture, I don't see this. Broadly speaking, it doesn't matter who the leader is. No politician is our savior, and it doesn't matter on any side. My concern is for the hearts of those represented here, for the hearts of our community and city before God. That's my concern. That should be our prayer. Because it should be humbling to think that even if Christ himself sat on the throne, and you think of who Israel was in rejecting God as their leader, desiring a king, and as a nation, they still rebelled against God and faced punishment. Blessing comes as we fear God and walk in his ways. That is what we're called to. And we can hide behind all the rhetoric of our culture, or we can humble our hearts before God. And this is what I see in Joshua. Who will you serve today? What about you and your family? Joshua, in Joshua 24, it says, if you refuse to serve the Lord, if you refuse to walk in the fear of God, refuse to walk in his ways, then decide, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to listen to? In whose way are you going to walk today? Would you choose the gods of the past, which were health and wealth and hard work and personal recognition? The values of past generations. Are you going to surrender and submit and follow the gods of today? The values of today of personal experience and independence and celebrating my own way, even if those ways are in rebellion to God. Choose today who you will serve. But as it says in the text, but as for me, as for my family, we're going to serve the Lord. This is what we have dominion over. This is what we have control over. Let's not hide behind the broader dialogue within the culture of this or that and what's happening. Are you walking in the fear of God today? Are you surrendered to him? What about you and your family? Let that be a blessing. Let that be a joy. There is a simplistic clarity that comes, that is good, that is needed in the midst of everything that can bombard us throughout the week? Are we living and walking in the fear of God? This week in community groups that meet throughout the city, that there's kind of three questions that I'm wanting you to wrestle with this week. That I said kind of at the beginning, I pray that this is a seed that stirs within you, that cultivates a clarity and a gratitude. I think for one, I really want you guys to consider, am I, or what does it look like for me to walk in the fear of the Lord? Right? Like, what does that mean? Not just in theory for you, specifically in understanding that it's something that's both declared and experienced. What does it look like for you to walk in His ways at work? In the task that you give your hands to, and whatever they may be, simply asking yourself that question, what does it look like, God, for me to walk in Your ways as I'm faithful in my work? That when we say at the end, go and be the church, this is the application, this is what I mean. That when the alarm goes off tomorrow, when you show up to work online or in person or whatever that may look like, and all the complications that you may face with that, simply asking yourself throughout this week, Lord, what does it look like to surrender to You and walk in Your ways as I serve You through this job? And then to ask that same question when it comes to your home. Lord, what does it look like to walk in Your ways as I serve my family, my kids, and how You interact with them and how You respond to them when they come to You with another question or another need or whatever that might be? And simply humbling your heart and saying, Lord, help me to walk in Your ways with this. If you're not married or you don't have kids, you're not off the hook. Like, there's a sense of how are you walking with others in this? There's the extended family of the church, of the community, of the extended physical family that we have. How are you walking in His ways in these areas? Because if we're honest, this is the majority of our life. Let us serve faithfully. So if you will, I want to close in prayer. And as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table, as a reminder that we can't do this on our own, right? Like, we're surrendering. We're not coming to God today and say, hey, look at all my good works and all that I've done this week. Aren't you proud? No, we're coming with hands empty, saying, Lord, I need You once again. My heart wanders so easily. I need You. And so as I close in prayer, I'm also just going to give a time of reflection that I want to invite you to just surrender your heart to God. Ask Him to expose maybe how you have not walked in His ways this week and how He's convicting you to walk in His ways this week, but that you would do so in His strength, not your own. Not leaving here striving, but dependent. And that dependence would lead to transformation. So Lord, I do thank You for this time this morning. Lord, of the words of truth, the declaration of blessing for those who walk in Your ways. Lord, we can be a proud people and culture. We celebrate independence, and You invite us to be dependent upon You. Lord, would You help each of us here this morning to discern what it means to have an awe and respect for You, and to surrender our lives and walk in obedience to Your ways. Lord, we don't come
this morning with all of our victories and success. Lord, we come with empty hands and a humble heart in need of you, in need of mercy, Lord, in need of grace. Lord, would you continue to speak to hearts this week? Lord, I believe you long for these to be more than just words on a page, more than words that are just heard and quickly forgotten. But Lord, would these words take root in our heart and bear the fruit of love toward your ways? And a willingness to walk in obedience to them. Lord, would you be glorified? And in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to today's message. We pray that it was a blessing in your life. And if you do have any questions about what it means to follow Jesus or about Cross Point Church, please visit us at xpoint.com. And please feel free to subscribe to this podcast. We are updating these messages every week following our gatherings on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Thank you and have a great week.